This is number 5 in the series that we've done on religion. And this one is, who started religion? And how come religion is separated from the way that we live? What is religion really in the first place? How did it get started? How is it that God does not want a religion, yet most people believe that God wants a religion? And today you can turn on the television and they have all of the so-called religious programs all on one channel. So what they've effectively done with that, they've effectively set religion outside of living. Completely censored it. On all the other television shows and movies, religionists are made, especially the Protestants are made to be silly, Bible thumping, fire breathing, sweating, adulterating preachers. And people are turned off at religion. Well, there is a good reason why you ought to be turned off at religion, because when you really understand who started it, then you'll understand why God hates religion. Now let's begin. When did religion start? Who started it? On what basis was it started? How did it begin? Why is it perpetuated today to where most of the religions today are so similar that they're all planning to get together now in a united religion? United religions of the world. So how did it get started? Well, let's look at it this way. I'll tell you what religion is. Religion is a substitute for God's way. And in almost all cases, it has a substitute God. And it began with Satan the devil. He was the one who invented religion. He is the one who designed religion in his rebellion. Now, he wasn't satisfied with being close to God, being the covering cherub. He wasn't satisfied with walking up and down in the stones of fire that he picks God's throne. He wasn't satisfied with being the covering cherub created in beauty and splendor. No, he wanted to be God. So let's read that here, Ezekiel 28. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Say unto him, thus says the Lord God, you seal up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now we know that this is not talking about any man, because the next verse tells us, you have been in the Garden of Eden. Now when you read the account, which we'll go through a little later, in Genesis 3, what do you find? You find God, Adam, Eve, and the serpent, who was already Satan the devil at that point. No other person ever got into the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve sinned and they were expelled from the Garden of Eden, because God put cherubim there with flaming swords to turn the way so no one could go into the garden. So we know that where it says you have been in Eden, the garden of God, this is talking about the serpent. Could be no other one. This is also telling us that the one who is behind the prince of Tyrus, because it says over here in verse 2, son of man, say to the prince of Tyrus. Well, how did he graduate from being prince to king? Well, the king of Tyrus was Satan the devil, who is the power behind the prince of Tyrus. So that's how that came to be. It says here at the bottom of the next verse, verse 13, and in the day that you were created, you were the anointed cherub that covers, I have set you so, you were upon the holy mountain of God. That means right there where God has his throne. And as a covering cherub, he would cover the throne of God. And have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till iniquity was found in you. Now this tells us that religion was started because of iniquity or sin. Let's read on and we'll show you. We'll show you every time that Israel apostatized from God They got into religion, and it was sin. Every single time, till iniquity was found in you. And it can't be said of men that we are perfect. The only one it was ever said of was Job, and it was found out that he was only perfect in the letter. He was not perfect in the spirit. Now, verse 16, by the multitude of your merchandise, they filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. And that is a key of every religion today. They merchandise, and they kill. When we read about Babylon the Great, God lays the death of all human beings right on her. So we need to understand what the whole situation is with religion. Therefore, I will cast you out as profane from out of the mountain of God. So religion is really profane. But they try and make it appear holy. And being a substitute for God, what it is a substitute for God's way so that people can feel good and holy about what they are doing. But it isn't holy with God. Because you see, it's already a rejection of God to begin with because the author of religion has rejected God. That is Satan the devil. I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Get them out. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, and you have corrupted your wisdom by the reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings that they may behold you. So God's ultimate judgment on Satan the devil is going to happen. Now, we cover that on the Day of Atonement, so be sure and get any tape on the Day of Atonement. You have defiled your sanctuaries. Now, it says, by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your traffic. Sanctuaries. How was it that there were sanctuaries? And they were corrupted. They had sanctuaries before they were corrupted. So in other words, there was some kind of worship of God with the angels where there were sanctuaries. Now they became corrupted because Satan then was merchandising. I don't know what he told the angels that fell with him, but Revelation 12 says a third of the angels fell with him. I don't know what Satan offered them. I don't know what he promised them. I don't know what he did to deceive them. But I do know that the first thing that he did was to get their eyes off of the fact that God was God. Now, when you get your eyes and your mind off the facts and you get yourself into feelings and you get yourself into suppositions, and then you get yourself into self-deceivings. And that's exactly what happened with Satan. He thought he was as good as God and was going to be like God. Now, let's go to Isaiah 14, because we know this tells us of how he wanted to exalt himself and how he fell. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. And so that had to be before the creation of Adam and Eve and before the recreation of the earth as we know it in Genesis, the first chapter. Verse 12, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. So his mission originally was to be a light bringer for the angels of God, maybe even for the creation of human beings. But now, instead of bringing a light bringer with the light of God, he's a light bringer bringing darkness. And Jesus said, if the light in you is darkness, behold how great the darkness. Why? Because you're all cut off from God. Verse 13, for you said in your heart. So God knows the heart. So it wasn't just a slip up. It wasn't just something, a misunderstanding or something like that. He said in his heart, I will ascend in the heaven, showing that the angels were originally on the earth. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and the stars of God are the angels. To exalt himself above the angels, and he got one third to follow him in that exaltation. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, but he was cast out. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. We'll stop and think for a minute. if there is God, which there is, and if he is the Most High, which he is, then nobody else and no one else and no other being can be like the Most High. It's an impossibility. If it is not an impossibility, then the Most High God is not the Most High God, correct? So that's why Satan was cast down. He says, you shall be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Now that's how religion got started. Now let's come to Genesis 3 and let's see what Satan wanted to do with the same thing that he did with the angels. And let's look here a little bit about Satan's thinking and his reasoning. And we will see that he always appeals to emotions. And emotions are used to divert you from the facts. And Satan always does that. And religion diverts you from the facts. Let me give you an example. You walk up to a Protestant minister and you tell him, look, I keep the Sabbath and it's the seventh day of the week and there's nowhere in the Bible that authorizes Sunday. He will give you every reason, no facts, but every reason. I think, I feel, we do, we practice, it is tradition. That way, if you get into that discussion with Satan, then you start finding out where you agree. Or, better still, where your carnal mind disagrees with God. Because you see, religion is the substitute for God's way, and Satan is the substitute for God. Now here, Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, has God said? Now notice he starts out with a lie. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And sometimes you get trapped like Eve. So she wanted to correct him. So the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, she either added a little bit more to the instruction, or she was instructed and knew not to take it, not to touch it, not to eat it. That was the fact. Now Satan comes along and gets you away from the fact to get you into religion. The serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Now there's a conflict. For God knows that the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, you know the rest of the story. They ate of the fruit, their eyes were opened, and that's when their nature was changed. They had a sinful nature. Then God judged them, gave the sentence of death, so that's how the law of sin and death entered into human life. And it entered in because they believed in religion rather than God. So what did God have to do? God had to remove them out of the Garden of Eden. So there you have it. Now let's come over here to chapter 4. Let's see who carried it on. Because it's talked about, here, hold your place and let's go back to the book of Jude. So we go from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. And the book of Jude is just the little book before the book of Revelation. So let's go all the way back to the end. And of course, in the Bible, Christ is called the beginning and the ending. So there are many things we can learn at the beginning, but we also see at the end. So here we are toward the end of the Bible. And let's read it here in the book of Jude. Now it talks about the angels, which we have talked about, so let's read it here. Verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, as he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Then he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah and what happened to them and all the things that they did, and they're an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And likewise, these filthy dreamers also defile the flesh, that is the religionist who crept in. Certain men have crept in unawares. Ungodly men ordained to this condemnation of old. And how old is it? Goes back to Satan the devil. Despise dominion and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, while contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses did not bring a railing accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you. These speak evil of things which they know not." And that's what Satan always does. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. And that's what happens always in every religion. They end up corrupting themselves. "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and have ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." And Korah, in his rebellion, what did he want to do? He wanted to set up his own priesthood. So every one of these things talk about religion that takes you away from God. Now, the way of Cain is very profound. Let's go back to Genesis now. Come back here to Genesis, the fourth chapter. While you're turning back there, I want you to make sure that you get this book called The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. If you don't have it, you can get it from Emissary Publications in Clackamas, Oregon. And you can probably get the number on information. This proves The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop, that papal worship is the worship of Nimrod, Semiramis, and Horus, and Satan. And it all began with Cain, right here in Genesis, the fourth chapter. He is the one who began it. Now, he was not satisfied with coming to worship God as God commanded. Abel brought an offering, and God accepted it. He brought it according to the command. But let's see what Cain did with his offering. He brought something from the ground. Well, now, if you bring something from the ground according to the command of God, he'll accept it. But he didn't bring it according to the command of God, so it wasn't accepted. Verse 5, "But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was wroth." And Tyndale translates that "lowered." You could just, you know, see him lowering. "And his countenance fell." Now, what was Cain trying to do with this? Now, we need to think about it. If Abel was accepted because he obeyed God and he was a preacher of righteousness, then Cain tried to worship God in a way that God did not accept because it was sin. Anytime you go against the commands of God, it is sin. And that's what God said. God said unto Cain, "Why are you wroth? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shall you not be accepted?" Religion is a substitute so that people can think they can be accepted by God in a way different than God has commanded. That's exactly what religion is. That's why nearly every religion has their own rules, their own regulations, their own laws, their own traditions, their own festivals, and how many of them go to the Bible to say, "Let's find out what the Word of God says and we'll do that." Oh no, they go to the Bible and use this part, and they go to the Bible and use that part, but they won't take the thing as a whole. That's exactly what Cain was doing here. "If you do not well, sin lies at the door, and unto you shall be its desire, because the wages of sin is death, but you shall rule over it." In other words, you can overcome sin. So what happened? Cain killed Abel because he was jealous and he was angry, and he probably went around and said, "Why doesn't God accept me? Well, I did the best that I could." You see, that's just the way that religion is. So he was jealous and killed Abel. And then God decided not to execute the death penalty upon Cain, but send him off into the land of wandering, or Nod, after he put a mark on him. Now, no one knows what the mark of Cain is. There have been many speculations. Some speculate that it was even a cross on his forehead. Now, that may be somewhat true, but we won't say that that's absolutely true. That's just a speculation. But do you think that Cain would admit that he was wrong? No. Do you think that he would admit that he was wrong in killing his brother? No, he was justified in doing it because God accepted him and not me. Because man is justified in every thought of his own mind that what he's doing is right. No. Cain went out and he started his own civilization. And what did that civilization lead to? Well, it led to the corruption of the earth. So corrupt that God had to bring the flood. Now, right after the flood, then we have this event. Let's come over here to Genesis, the 10th chapter, and we're going to find the one that carried on the way of Cain after the flood. And his name is Nimrod. And his wife, Semiramis. Now, let's read it right here. Verse 8, Genesis 10. And Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. And one of the stories is that he was so mighty, he was a giant. And he was so strong and so powerful that he went out and wrestled a bull to the ground, just twisted its neck off, took the head, and placed it on top of him to show his power and his prowess. And we'll see what that has to do with the golden calf later on. Because you see, that is a symbol of the religions of this world, a symbol of Nimrod. And he was a mighty hunter before God. Now that doesn't mean that he was a mighty hunter with God's blessing. He was a mighty hunter in place of God, or placing himself between the people and God. And that's what he did. And he's the founder of the way of Cain on this side of the flood. And he began to be a mighty one in the earth. And he was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter, before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Let's see what happened at Babel. Let's look at the rebellion of Nimrod. Now, I know we can go back to these things, and in these chapters we can pick out many different aspects of learning and understanding the scriptures and so forth. But let's look and see in the aspect of religion in its rebellion. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 1. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. Now this slime was actually asbestos. Right there in the area of Mesopotamia, they had oil and tar oozing out of the ground. So they actually made asbestos out of it so that they could make it waterproof. Because they wanted to build this tower not only to make a name for themselves, but they didn't want to go to the places of their inheritance that God had designated that they should go to. They didn't want to be scattered. Well, God eventually scattered them by confounding their languages. But you see, in building this tower, then they were in rebellion against God. So what do we have? We have religion, we have civil government, and rebellion against God, and religion and civil government have been bedfellows from day one. And they are going to be again at the end, as we know. So then you know the rest of the story. God went down and confounded their languages. Now when he confounded their languages, scattered them into all the earth, then the three names of Nimrod, Semiramis, and Horus, then were all changed. But all the names of the gods, of the various pagan gods, in all the nations of the world, come right back to Nimrod, Semiramis, and Horus, who's also known as Tammuz. And this is one of the greatest books that has ever been done to document the history that's how religion got started this side of the flood. Right in Babylon. All the fables, all of the lies, all of the stories, all of the false worship, all of the control, all of the merchandising, all of the fornication, all of the murders, all of the wars, lie right there. And Satan the devil is the one who has inspired it. So that's where religion started. Now let's come to Romans, the first chapter, and let's see what happens. When you have a religion, and you have a society based upon human philosophy, inspired by Satan the devil, that hates God, that doesn't want God's rule, that doesn't want God's law, that doesn't want the Spirit of God, that doesn't want people to be in the kingdom of God, only wants to kill and destroy and maim and make sure that everyone can't be there because he was kicked out. Now here's what happened. Let's pick it up here in Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And that's what they do. Now, let me just say, any of you who keep Sunday, you are holding the truth of God in unrighteousness and you need to repent. Because you're following a religion. And you're following a substitute for God's way and His law and for God. You think you're worshiping God, but you're not worshiping God. There are many that are going to say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done wonderful works? Did we cast out demons? Didn't we do things in your name? Did we prophesy in your name? And Christ is going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. Because that's exactly what it is, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe every word of God? Are you willing to live by every word of God? See, because that's the way of God. Whereas religion says, well, we'll pick and choose. Well, I don't like that harsh one concerning the Sabbath. No, I think Sunday's just fine because all of us good folks are sincere. And how can you turn down all these good people? Let's come to church on Sunday. Or someone else will say, well, I worship God every day. Well, you ought to. But when do you work if every day is holy to you? See, you can't make anything holy. That's exactly what religion has done. Put on collars upside down and backward. Command to not marry. You read everything that the Catholics have there. Confession. Penance. Rosary. Idols. Statues. And every religion has those. Even the Muslims have their beads they do laps around. All religion, all a substitute for God. So verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them or to them. God left them with no excuse, for God has shown it to them. God showed His truth. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. And that means the Pope, that means Dalai Lama, that means Billy Graham, that means Oral Roberts, and all of those of that ilk. They have the Bible, but they won't believe Him. They won't believe God. They won't keep the Word of God. No, they're without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. So they came up with myths to explain their gods. And people say, oh, but you see what it does, it appeals to carnal nature, because it will let you do the sin. And let you not have to repent to God, but you come and do some Our Fathers or Our Hail Marys, or you do laps around the beads, or you pray to Allah five times a day, or you sit and meditate yourself into oblivion as a Buddhist, professing themselves to be wise. Oh, yes, we have philosophy. They became fools. And that's what God thinks of every religious leader in this world. Because they're all going the way of Cain, the way of Babylon the Great, following the mother of harlots, and all the governments of the earth are with them. They're fools. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like unto corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their bodies between themselves. And that's where it always ends up. Right there. Who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the created more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. I remember talking to a man and he told me, he says, oh, I says, you just got to go to the Sistine Chapel and see. He said, when I went there, I was just overwhelmed and tears came to my eyes. Well, I didn't say anything to him because of the situation with other people around there. But if I had been alone, I'd said, that's plain idolatry. Tell you, if I went in there, I'd want to take a bazooka and start shooting down all these idols and start bombing out all of these paintings and things like that. All they do is glorify men. And all they're setting it up for is a great united religion to come. And it's going to come. Now let's come back to Exodus 20 here for just a minute. Exodus 20. Now here in Exodus 20, we find something very important, brethren. Now you may take this for granted. Oh, there he goes to the Ten Commandments. We know the Ten Commandments. Well, I should hope you do if you know them by heart. Well, let's turn there. Let's read it. Let's read the first commandment. Because this is profound. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Now you have to read the whole thing. Not just you shall have no other gods before me, because it points you to the right God. And what did he do? He brought them out of the land of Egypt, the house of bondage, and all the religion of Egypt, which is the religion of Nimrod and Semiramis and Horus, called Osiris, Isis, and Horus. Then they had other names like Ra and so forth. Out of the house of bondage, and their bondage was literally physical, but it was also spiritual. Then he says, you shall have no other gods before me. But you see, you have to have that first part first, so that you know what God took us out of. Then he says not to make any graven image of any likeness of anything. Now, after God got done speaking all these words, people said, oh, no, Moses, you talk to us. Don't let God speak to us lest we die. Now, then we come over here to Exodus 32. What is the first thing that the children of Israel wanted to do when they didn't know where Moses was? They wanted a substitute for God. Even in the very presence of God, they wanted a substitute. So here, Exodus 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. So it's a thing everyone agreed to? Yes, everyone agreed to. Well, I don't know where he is. Well, suspicion. Did he fall in a volcanic hole up there? Maybe one of the gods got him. So they said to Aaron, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man, that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what's happened to him. And Aaron said to them, now this is the way that a politician does. He goes along with the people. Aaron should have said, look, God is up there, Moses is up there, have some faith. Now you all get out of here and go home and pray. No, he didn't. He said, well, bring the earrings and we'll make the golden caps. So he did. They brought them, received them at their hand. And Aaron fashioned it with a graving tool after he made it a molten calf. And they said, these be your gods which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And Aaron saw it, and he built an altar before it, and Aaron made the proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast unto the Lord. So the one who was supposed to be the high priest, to bring the way of God to the people, was right there part and parcel in bringing the substitute religion of the golden calves. And that was the symbol of Nimrod with this bull's head after he had ripped it off the bull and stuck it on top of his head to show his mighty power. So they're worshiping men. They're worshiping idols. Now let's read some other things. You know what happened there. You know the rest of the story. If it wasn't for Moses pleading to God to save the people, he would have exterminated them. But what God had to do, he removed himself outside the camp. When they first started, God was central to the camp. With a pillar of the cloud in the day and the pillar of fire at night. He was central. After that, the pillar of fire and cloud moved outside the camp, and Moses set up the tent of the meeting out there for him to go to And all of the people had to rise up and stand and watch Moses go out and meet God. So the moral of this story is, and the lesson is, if you want your religion, God will let you have it. You're going to chase him away. Now, God didn't remove himself totally away. He was still nearby. Now, let's come to the book of Leviticus here, Leviticus 18. Let's see some of the commands that God gave the children of Israel. Then we'll see what they did. Why is it that people always want religion? They want religion because it makes them feel good. Because they don't have the commandments of God, which are the facts and the truth to lead them. They want to go their own way and feel good about it, regardless. And so if God doesn't come down and exterminate them immediately, they think, oh my, well, this is fine. Let's make this holy. Oh, this statue is so beautiful. Look at how wonderful. And it weeps. They're dumb idols. Now here in Leviticus 18, the Lord spoke unto Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt wherein you dwell. After the doings means everything. Their religion, their society, their dress, everything. You shall not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, where I bring you, you shall not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. Why? Because they're all substitute for God. That is their own religion worshiping Satan. What did Jesus tell the religious leaders of Judaism in his day? You are of your father the devil, and the deeds of your father you will do. And he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. And when he speaks a lie, he's a liar, for he's the father of it. And they sought to kill him because he condemned them for their actions and their wrong religion. Rather than falling down and repenting and say, ha, oh, this is the Son of God, forgive us. No. Now back here to Leviticus 18, verse 4. You shall keep my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Now if you want an interesting study, go back and find out how many times God says, I am the Lord your God. Yet they didn't believe it. They didn't want to follow God. They wanted to follow their own way, their own religion. Well, they wanted God's blessings. But they didn't want to do it God's way. Therefore, you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord your God. Then he gives all of the intimate sex laws, which were violations that God said were gross, abominable sins, which were done in Egypt, which were done in the land of Canaan, and which are being brought back part and parcel into this society again today, because we have religion and we don't have the way of God. That's why. Now let's come down here to verse 24. Defile not yourself in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled which I cast out before you. That's why they were going out, because of their sins. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomits out her inhabitants. Therefore you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourns with you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew you not out also, when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations which were before you. Now they didn't learn the lesson, though, did they? We'll see in just a minute. Let's come to Deuteronomy 18. And here's what God said. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9. And when you come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. Now, hold your place here and go back to Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12. We'll come back to Deuteronomy 18 in just a minute. But Deuteronomy 12, in verse 29. Deuteronomy 12, verse 29. And when the Lord your God shall cut off the nations from before you, where you go to possess them, and you succeed them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourselves. Watch out. Be on guard, because it's so easy to do, that you be not snared, entrapped, by following them, after that they be destroyed before you, and that you inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods, even so will I do likewise, a specific command not to. But no, people have to have their religion, don't they? And it's even happened in the Church of God, hasn't it? You know why the Church of God has been destroyed? Because of religion. Because of people not wanting to follow God, not wanting to keep His commandments, not wanting to love and serve God from their hearts. Notice, verse 31. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God. For every abomination to the Lord, which He hates, have they done unto their gods, even their sons and their daughters, have they burnt in the fire to their gods. Whatsoever thing I command you, observe to do it, you shall not add thereto or diminish therefrom. That is very clear. Now let's come back to Deuteronomy 18. Let's read what else God has said here. Verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or daughter to pass through the fire. Yet even the kings of Israel did that. Or that uses divination. Or an observer of times. There's a command not to observe Christmas right there. God inspired Jeremiah to write, learn not the way of the heathen. Then explains about how they go out and cut a tree out of the forest and make a Christmas tree. And yet, thousands who were in the Church of God have gone back, just like the children of Israel, to religion, and they keep Christmas, and they keep Sunday, and they keep Easter, and they keep all of these holidays of the world, and say, oh my, isn't this nice? Now, if you're one of them, you better wake up. You better repent. Because there are going to be those who won't repent of their religion, and they're going in the lake of fire. Because they are idolaters. Now let's talk about something concerning idols. Idols you make in your mind. Every idea, every thought that is against God is an idol in your mind. Every practice and every deed that you do which is against God is an idol in your hands. You need to understand. Or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all these things are abominations unto the Lord. And Walt Disney thinks they're just fine to teach all of our little children. Cartoons that kids watch are abominations. You want to feed your children's minds on abominations? You want to teach them about witchcraft through Disney, through tarot cards, through Ouija boards, through all of those games designed to destroy the mind of your children and make them commit idolatry, and they are not old enough to discern between good and evil? Think about it. Everything that God says is an abomination here is a delight to Walt Disney. All that do these things are abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord, your God, does drive them out from before you, and that's why this nation is going to go down and go out, because we are turning into the same stupidity that they did. Let's come over here to the book of Judges. They went into the promised land. They finally conquered it. They didn't drive out all the people as they should have. We come over here to the book of Judges. We find exactly what the children did. Exactly what they did. The first thing they did was find a substitute for God. And they found it in the Nimrod religion of Baal and Ashtaroth, because Baal is Nimrod and Ashtaroth is Semiramis, Astarte, or Isis, whichever name you want to put on it. Now let's pick it up here, verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered to their fathers, and now we are at a generational point here in the United States. exactly the same way. We're at a generational point in the church. In exactly the same way. And they have done exactly the same thing as the children of Israel did here. There arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord because they weren't keeping His commandments. They forgot God. They had all the blessings of God and they just let everything all slide together and it was so nice and it was so quaint and God in His mercy didn't come and destroy them right away so they thought everything was fine. Nor yet the works which God had done for Israel, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam, and forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Asherah. So the anger of the Lord waxed hot against Israel. Yes, indeed. God is God. He is Creator. He is Almighty. He is Most High. What are people doing down there, giving my honor and glory to idols, to dumb, stupid things that can't talk, that can't see, that have no knowledge, that can't think? Brethren, you need to understand, this thing of religion is profound. They never, ever learned the lesson, did they? No. Let's come over here to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. When the tribes of Israel split, the 10 northern tribes, what was the first thing that was instituted? The very first thing. The religion of Egypt. Solomon corrupted God's way. You can read about that in 1 Kings 11. Had all these wives and concubines and made churches and incense altars for them and filled Jerusalem with the abominable temples of the false gods, and Jerusalem was the place where God put His name. But isn't that always what happens? Where God puts His name, someone comes in to pollute it, to destroy it, to twist it, to turn it, to corrupt it. And now you know what's wrong with the Church of God today. I tell you, this thing of religion, people get all upset because God condemns religion and they blame me for condemning religion. And they blame me for condemning Job. Look, I didn't write the Bible. I didn't put it there. And because I read the words of God which condemn it, and I get hot behind the collar sometimes because I see all of this stupidity going on and all of this in the name of God and all this mealy-mouth, mush-mush, huggy-huggy, get-together, because of carnal men trying to do the ways of their own and force it upon God. You take it to God. If you have a problem with that, go repent to God. Or go start your own religion in church, and then when God comes to judge you, then you tell Him. Now let's come over here to 1 Kings 12, verse 25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt there and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up and do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. He didn't believe God. God said, if you will obey me, keep my commandments, follow me, I will give you a dynasty just like I promised David. Didn't believe God. He was afraid. And you see, that's what religion says. If you believe in religion, you do not believe in God. You may believe in a God, but you don't believe God. Wherefore, the king took counsel and made... So they always do it by counsel. They always do it by counsel. That's why God raises up one prophet. Because if he loves God and serves Him and is independent from men, then he's not going to be corrupted. But the counsel will corrupt you 9 times out of 10. And made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, it's too much for you. Now, appealing to feeling, right? Why? We're considering you. We're going to make it easy for you. Took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, too much for you to go to Jerusalem? These are your gods. O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt, and set one up in Bethel, which means house of God, and set the other one up in Dan. Now, that was easy to do because there was already the idolatrous renegade Levites up there who had their own Catholic religion going in Dan. So that was simple to do. They welcomed that, and this thing became sin, for the people went to worship before the one and even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month on the 15th day of the month, likened to the feast that is in Judah, and offered upon the altar. So he did in Bethel, sacrificing under the calves which he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places which he had made. And he offered upon the altar which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, even the month which he devised in his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and offered upon the altar and burned incense. And Jeroboam was the epitome of sin. And every king that followed him was said that they went in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who caused the children of Israel to sin. Now let's come over here to 2 Kings 17. Let's see what God had to do with them. You see, God will only tolerate these things so long. And then he's got to do some spewing, which he did with Israel. 2 Kings 17, verse 7. And it was that the children of Israel sinned against the Lord their God, which brought them up out of the land of Egypt. Now notice how it always says, brought them up out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt, over and over and over again. Verse 8. And walked in the statutes of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God, and built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced cities. They set up in their images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree, where they could have fornication and priestess prostitution and all of that. And it says there in the book of Isaiah, eating of mice, all of these things. And these were sanctified to the gods which originated with Nimrod, Semiramis, and Horus. Every one of these. And that's what's going on today. That's what's happening in the Church of God today. And they burn incense in all the high places, as did the heathen the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wickedness to provoke the Lord to anger. Served idols, whereof the Lord has said unto them, you shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and all the seers, saying, turn from your evil ways. And I plead with you the same way today. If you believe in religion, if you've been in the worldwide Church of God, and you've swallowed this Sunday malarkey, and you've swallowed Christmas and Easter and all of this satanic stuff, I plead with you, turn from your way and repent. Because it may be too late if you think about it in the future. And keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they didn't hear. They did worse. Rejected his statutes and covenants. Let's read it here. But hardened their necks like the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. And I'm here to tell you that if you don't keep God's way, you don't believe in Him. You may know this name, you may hold the Bible up, but you don't believe in Him. You may be skilled in going through scriptures to prove your little point, but you don't believe in Him. And they rejected His statutes and His covenant that He made with their fathers and His testimonies which He testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain. And that's exactly what has happened. Brethren, don't you see that? Those leaders who have led you down this path are vanity and have become vain. And they've done everything that it says here. rejected all of God's ways, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do this thing. They left off all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord their God, to provoke him to anger. And so the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight, and there was none left but the tribe of Judah. And Judah didn't learn from that. And Judah went on and had to be sent off into captivity. And the church of God is not learned even to this day. Do we have to be sent off into captivity like they? Well, let's keep our senses about us. Let us understand some things here. Let's realize some very important things. Now, let's come over here to the New Testament. And let's come to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Because there is coming the greatest deception that's going to come on the world. And if you've already rejected the commandments of God and are not going to repent of that, you're going to be deceived. Because if you reject the commandments of God, you do not love the truth. Because all of His commandments are true. And His word is truth. And that's why it's coming upon this world, and it's going to come, and it's going to be awesome. And it's going to feel good, and it's going to be magnificent, and there will be miracles. Undeniable false miracles will take place. It's going to be awesome. It's going to make Nimrod look like a piker. But he will be Nimrod's successor. Verse 7. This was already happening in Paul's day. Even then, the people couldn't stand to have the truth. No. Verse 7, 2 Thessalonians 2. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who is now withholding will withhold until he be taken out of the way. So it's held for the time that God is going to let it happen. Then shall that wicked one be revealed. And God is going to reveal it. Because he's going to be the son of perdition, the man of sin. And he's going to go sit in the temple of God and say that he is God. And all the world is going to go after him, and all the world's going to worship him. All the world's going to worship Satan the devil, and Satan will have completed his plan where he will have the whole world deceived and away from God. And that's when Christ is going to intervene and destroy the whole system. This thing about religion is no small matter. Notice. Whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Satan in all of his glory and all of his power and all of every deceivableness that can be. All power and signs and lying wonders. And it is going to be awesome. And all the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they may be saved. The answer is, if you don't love the truth, you will not be saved. Do you grasp that? Do you understand that? Do you realize that? We need to really think on that. And for those of us who are still mealy-mouthing around with religion, we need to repent of it and ask God to give us His way, His grace, His mercy, His Spirit, His truth, the love of His truth, the love of Him, the love of Jesus Christ, the love of brethren, the love of doing the things that God wants us to do. And God is going to hold us accountable. You think God is going to open any door to do anything for this world if we're going to mealy-mouth around and compromise with religion and His way? I tell you, no. A man just recently wrote me a letter. And he said, I've heard you say that you believe that we've been Laodiceans from the beginning. He says, I believe that also. And he says, if you look at the scattering and you compare it by doing this. If you take a cup of coffee and you put it in your mouth and you spew it out, what happens? Droplets everywhere. And he said, it's just like the scattering of the church. And brethren, That is what has happened. And they are blind and they are naked and they think that they are just fine. They are not. Now notice, for this cause, God, now I want you to tie that in with Romans 1. Let's turn back to Romans 1 because I want you to understand something profound. God means business. When something happens, God is the one who causes it. If you sin and you love sin, He will let you go have more sin. That's what He did here. Let's read it. Verse 20, that they didn't honor God. They are without excuse. They didn't glorify God, profess themselves to be wise. Come over here to verse 24. After their idolatry, wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness. Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. God is the one who has done it. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, verse 28, God gave them over. Well, God is the one. God is the one. You come back here and you read this, verse 11. For this cause, because they didn't love the truth, because they went after the idols, because they looked at this man of sin, the son of perdition, as a savior, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And that's what religion is. It is a lie. All religions are lies. They may have some truths in them which they have borrowed from God. But since it is not the truth of God, it is still a lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth. So you have to love the truth and you have to believe it. But had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's what all religion is. All religion is unrighteousness. Now, let's come here to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and let's see what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul said the same thing. You can't weld together religion and the way of God. You cannot do it. Now, let's come over here, verse 18. Behold, Israel after the flesh. Are not they which ate of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What shall I say then? That an idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? In other words, an idol is nothing. It is absolutely nothing. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Do you provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are you stronger than He? Think about that before you go do those things. No, there is no mixing of it. Absolutely not. Come here to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and let's see. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. An unbeliever is one who believes in religion. He may name the name of God. He may have certain set formulas of his religion. It may sound all nice and sweet and lovely because he used the name of Christ and all of that. But he is an unbeliever. If they don't believe in the commandments of God, they don't believe in the Sabbath of God, they don't believe in the truth of God, and they don't love God with all their heart, mind, and soul, and being, they are an unbeliever. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? None. Impossible. Can't be. And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's why God's way is not a religion, because Christ in you is the hope of glory. Not the external things that you do, as we have already covered. What you have to do is make the tree good. Then the fruit will be good. If the tree is not good, you can't make the fruit good. Do you understand that? That's why you've got to make the tree good. The only way that is Christ in you. That you're the temple of God. I will walk in and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Who's them? The religious people with their idolatry and their statutes and their judgments and their ways. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Not go join them. Not have ecumenical councils. Not figure out what is the thing we have in common. What you better have in common first is the right God. And what you better have in common first is the Lord God and Jesus Christ. With the right understanding, with the right laws, with everything that's correct out of the Bible. Otherwise, there's no agreement. It says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Let's come back here to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Paul was fighting this from the very day that he started. He was fighting religion, Judaism on one hand, and all the heathen religions on the other hand. He was cast out of the synagogue. He was cast out of cities. They came to worship him and Barnabas as Jupiter and Mercury. It was all he could do to keep them from offering sacrifices to him and Barnabas when they healed this man. He was fighting religion every place he went. You need to understand that. Now, here's what he tells us to do. Here's what we're to do. Verse 1, Ephesians 5. But be you followers of God as dear children, not as rebellious, seeking your own way, and walk in love as Christ has loved us, and has given himself for us for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Christ has done it for you. But that doesn't mean he is keeping the commandments for you. You're to keep the commandments. Christ in you is to keep the commandments, you see. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater, to say nothing of those who commit idolatry straight out, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Won't be there. Let no man deceive you with vain words, which are the myths of the pagan religions of this world. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be you not therefore partakers with them. Now that's strong language, brother. It's nice to read all the sweet and loving and kind and smooth things. But life just isn't that way. And sometimes these things that are hard need to be said. And they need to be said in such a way that it will be heard. Need to be said in such a way that people will understand and begin to look at their lives and begin to repent and begin to return to God. Notice verse 8. For you were sometime darkness. Why go back? But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And he comes down and he says, but for the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, which means expose them. That's why this book is so good. It exposes that darkness. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore he says, awake, you that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. And see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what is the will of the Lord. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, that's what God wants. Now let's come here to the book of 2 John. Quite something. Let's go back here to the last verse in 1 John. He says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Let's come over here. Second Epistle of John. Very short, only a few verses, so let's read it. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. I want you to listen to these words and let them sink in. Let them be profound. And not only I, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which is dwelling in us and shall be with us forever. Now that's Christ and his word and his commandments, his way. Grace be unto you and mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. I rejoice greatly that I found your children walking in truth. So God's way is the way of truth. You have to walk in it. As you have received a commandment from the Father. Why? Because all the words here come from God the Father. As Jesus said, I don't speak anything of my own self, but what the Father has given me commandment, that's what I speak. And that's why we need to learn the Word of God, understand the truth of God. And that's why it needs to be preached and it needs to be taught. The ideas of men and philosophies of men are nowhere. And speaking of philosophies of men, remember the first thing that happened to begin to lead people away from God in the worldwide Church of God? What did they do? They turned Stavronides loose on them and flooded them with all the pagan philosophies. And that was planned. That was done deliberately to confuse, to take away your truth, vain talking and janglings, to deceive you. Remember, the Word of God is a commandment from the Father. Now he says, verse 5, and I now beseech you, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, but that which you have from the beginning, that we should love one another. And this is love, that we walk in his commandments. And if you have a religion, you're not walking in his commandments. This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And that's the first thing that Stavridis did. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Regardless of who he is, what his name is, anyone who does that is an antichrist. Look to yourselves that you lose not those things which you have wrought. Because there are men going around seeking to take your crown. Now, they're not going to come in and say, look at me, whoopee, everybody, I'm a crown stealer. I can do that. They're going to come and say, have you ever thought of this? And you bite. And you've taken the first step. Don't lose the things that you have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever is transgressing and not abiding in the doctrine of Christ is not of God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, and neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bids him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. And that's what's happened in the Church of God, brethren. They brought in religion. They did the same thing as Israel. They went after the gods of this world, saying, how did they worship their gods? Even so we will do likewise. Please tell us about the Trinity. Instead of saying, there is the door, get out of here. No, they went and joined them. Let's come to Revelation 3. Revelation 3. Let's pick it up here in verse 8. Let this be us, brethren. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it, for you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. See, if you love God the Father, Christ loves you. If you love Christ, God the Father loves you. And if you love God, you'll keep his commandments, and you'll patiently keep his word. And those of the synagogue of Satan, which are organizing now in the greatest thrust ever to bring all religions together and to bring it all under the hegemony of the Roman Catholic Church, which means then that is directly under Satan the devil. God is going to make them come and worship before our feet when they are resurrected for their reward. Because you have kept the patience of my word, or patiently kept my word, I will keep you from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that you have, that no man take your crown. Now, Satan is the one who is doing it, but he sends his messengers. And there are men who want to get you involved in religion, away from the way of God, to steal your crown. Brethren, don't let anyone do that. Now you know why God hates religion.
This tape has been brought to you by the Christian Biblical Church of God website at www.cbcg.org. And thank you for listening.